Citizen?
It's Harry.
Well, don't worry about it, Harry. Just consider it a good deed from your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And Dodd.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yes.
Mini Marvel number 17.
Yes.
On video, on audio.
This rainy Thursday.
Rainy Thursday in California. Yeah. We're so cold. We're so cozy in our little sweaters. Yeah, it's like 40, I think it was 47 degrees at its coldest.
Something. Yeah,
it's,
it was really cold
it's
today.
It's super cold today. Yeah, raining. It's great. I love it.
I'm all for it. Yeah. It's just why I don't love it is when it's raining and I can't take my dog out. That's when it's like he needs to go, but
so is he using puppy pads right now?
No, he doesn't have it's just
you just gotta bear with it.
Gotta wait until it dies down a little bit. Put his shoes on and then I was like, I just need you to pee.
Poor buddy. Odin,
yeah,
we're thinking about your bud.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, welcome to Mini Marvel number 17. Mini Marvels, we talk about the broader Marvel universe and the MCU's hot topics, etc., etc. And so for those of you tuning in the traditional way, do not forget you can watch this episode and other Mini Marvel episodes on our YouTube channel.
Woo!
Humble following, but thank you so much for watching and listening. STRKCNTRST, like the rest of our social. And so this episode, we're pretty much kind of like not even bigger pictures per se, but I did want to touch on a couple of topics before we get into the nitty gritty of what we're really going to talk about today. But first off, I received a wonderful gift from my friend Sion in Japan for my B-Day that was last month. And so if you hadn't heard or you don't know,
yes,
it's a small world.
Yes.
In Tokyo Disney.
Uh-huh.
Right now, until June, Baby Groot and other Marvel characters
are in
the ride.
Wow.
And I was like, I wanted to go, but it hadn't dawned on me that, maybe they have merchandise of some sort. So she actually reminded me by sending me some stuff for my birthday.
Whoa.
Which I was like, aw. And so there's some other stuff in here, like cat stuff for Bucky, and she sent me some like treats, but she did send me some of the Baby Groot stuff from Small World.
Oh my gosh.
I guess these are I don't know.
Is
what
it in
these
Japanese?
Are. It is, yeah. And so stickers. So this is like a sticker pack full, and it's like branded with like Small World stuff, but you get the Baby Groot in his Small
That's
World
sick.
Attire. And then I think there's just a two. Yeah. Two. Yeah. And then this adorable thing.
What are those?
Postcards.
Wow.
But look at, like, Japan.
Wow, that's like...
Japan design is just so beautiful.
Anime Groot.
Look at this. Look how cute it is. Like, I was dying to go see it. It's so great. The Guardians are on it. There's a portal with Wong and Doctor Strange.
I didn't see that one. Oh, it's so cool.
There's Captain Marvel. Like, I really... Oh, and Rocket's right there. I wanted to go see it.
Yeah.
Very unrealistic. I was like, there's no way I'm going to make it to Tokyo by June. So, in a perfect world.
Yeah.
But unfortunately not. So, thank you so much, Sion, for sending me this stuff. Really loved it. Very much by surprise. Such a thoughtful person. So, I got a little bit of that special edition. I hope they do something here. Maybe.
Hopefully. You can only help.
People, I know. People are so purist at our Disneyland that I feel like they're going to be like, don't touch it. But we'll see. And so one more thing before we jump into our other stuff. So I kept forgetting. Every time you came over, I was going to show you.
Uh-huh.
And I kept forgetting. And I was like, God. But anyway. So in October, I won last year.
Yes.
Pre-ordered a comic book for myself. To get it graded.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're all about the grading life.
Oh,
I got to leave my heirlooms to my nieces and nephew. So one of them is the facsimile edition. So this is a reprint.
Uh-huh.
of Uncanny X-Men number 266, aka Gambit's first appearance on Holofoil.
Oh.
From Unknown Comics. Uh-huh. And it is signed not only by Jim Lee,
uh-huh,
Chris Claremont,
okay,
but also Andy Kubert.
Okay.
Triple signed. 9.8.
Oh my gosh.
Of this comic. Now, it's a reprint, so it's not worth as much as the original.
Sure.
Right. But it's going to be worth a pretty penny. It's, again, triple signed. Three legends. Jim Lee is hard. He's like the lord of DC right
now.
You know, and like he's their chief president or whatever you want to call him. But speaking of the original issue, lest we forget, I had two.
Oh.
In my collection that I've had since I was like
15
years old. So I got one of them graded.
You finally got it graded, yeah.
Finally got it graded in October at New York Comic Con, and it finally arrived.
Whoa.
So this is one I've carried with me since I was 16. 9.4.
And you don't know the grade you're going to get until...
Until you get it.
Until they send it to you?
Yep. And I got it signed by Jim Lee.
Ooh.
Do you wanna ballpark how much this book is officially worth
now? A little
now?
CGC guessing action?
Yeah, Jeff, come on. Gambit's first appearance.
First appearance, signed by Jim Lee, a 9.4, 19, that's it, no,
1990.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. Then I'm blind.
890.
Oh, 890. Okay. Yeah.
So August.
August. Okay. August 90, that's what I meant. Yeah. I was like, 8 out of 90? I was like, okay.
yeah. What do you think?
I 9.4? I wanna ballpark you high, die.
Yeah.
I wanna ballpark you like four figs at least. Have you checked already?
I looked around to see. And nobody had, like, a signed version.
Yes.
Right? But, yeah.
Is this the one you got signed at?
I got both signed
the one
for
at
the
a,
record at New York Comic Con.
New York Comic Con. Okay.
Yeah. And so this is the first one.
Yes.
So 9.4. We're ballparking.
9.4 isn't good.
For carrying it around since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I was I thought for sure, I was like,
at least an 8 maybe?
I hope it's a 9 maybe.
Yeah.
But I was for sure expecting like 8.9 or 8.8 or whatever. Or 8.5, I guess. And 9.4 on this one. And this one is the one I consider less perfect, for the record. But this bad boy now, originally when I had bought him, he was like, what, $75? Maybe? $50? When I bought it.
Oh, okay.
Because he blew up. He blew up after he came out.
When you were a teen, that was...
Yeah, I saved up to buy it.
That was 75?
Probably $50.
Whoa.
When it first came out. And then now you can get it for about $250,
mm-hmm,
$200. But now that I have mine graded, mm-hmm, at a 9.4 with Jim Lee, we're looking at $1,000.
See? I was...
Yeah.
I was right.
It just depends, right? It depends who... But it's the Jim Lee that does it.
It's the signature.
The 9.4 would have kept it at like 6
solid,
8.
Solid, whatever.
Yeah, 6 or 8. But...
The Jim Lee, yeah.
Yeah. And so my second copy... Again, I have two. My second copy of this original version is a better one. And so it's also signed by Chris Claremont and Jim Lee. And I got Jim to do a remark on it, which means he drew on the comic book.
Oof.
So there's a drawing of Gambit
on the cover. Oof.
So we'll see what that one comes back at. It's apparently arriving tomorrow.
Oh.
So by the time, think about it. November, December, January, February, March. 5 months. It took 5 months for
just
them
to
authenticate it. Yeah. And so...
I want to see that process. I'm so curious.
I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll actually... I don't know. I kind of feel like
make
I want to get
make
into
make that,
that
a gig?
Yeah. Like, seriously. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll find out what I got. But I'm so happy. Finally got it through the gate. I was like, okay. And I can work on other books now. I can get my Black Cat first appearance one. My Spider-Gwen's.
Yeah,
that's
like a whole
so
thing.
Crazy.
It's like if you have these comics and then you go to these cons hoping to like get it signed.
Yeah.
You have to, one, it's like, one, you have to make it out to that con.
Mm-hmm.
Two,
yep,
that creator has to be at that con.
Exactly.
Three, you hope they're signing autographs.
Yeah.
Four, you got to buy it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then 5, you got to keep it like in great condition exactly. while you're traveling wherever you're going. Yeah,
exactly.
And then finally you
yeah.
you submit it to CGC or whatever
exactly.
for them to yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
then maybe you'll get it 5 months later.
Exactly. Well, thankfully it would ultimately, well, it's funny because I wasn't even sure, right? I was like, okay, if I'm going to trust the process, I guess New York Comic Con is the one to do it at, right? But for luckily for me,
yeah,
I know the guy that reps Jim Lee, and I didn't know that until I got in line. And he was like,
what are you doing?
Diana, here? What are you doing? And I was like, Devin, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I rep Jim. And I was like, oh!
I'm here to meet him.
Yeah. And so it turned into, I was only going to get one signed, and that's it.
Oh, one of the comic books, because they charge you.
Yeah. And then it turned into, he was like, oh, I'll take care of you. I was like, oh. And it turned into, well, I guess I'll get it graded. And I was like, well, I did bring both copies.
Can you do both?
Yeah. And then it turned into, well, I might as well get a remark. And then it turned into, well, I'm grading one. High you, escalation
did,
very
did you
quickly.
Ask him for a remark? Or
it's available. And so I
oh,
asked.
Oh, you can like,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. dude, they sell everything at college.
They sell everything.
Jeez.
Yeah. And he is, and I really started to gauge my things because, you know, like that horror story of me trying to meet him at San Diego.
Yeah.
Like I had left
yes.
Hall H and
yes,
all
yes,
that
yes.
stuff. Yeah. And they wouldn't let me get anything. I was like, dude. So this time, and I, you know, it was funny because like, I don't know if I talked about it very much in our October episodes, but
uh-huh.
I got to talk to Jim and I was just like, you know, thank you for representing the Asian community.
Yes.
In being like a behemoth of comic books.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're one of the greatest. And he was like, so actually touched by it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, he must have heard this a few times by now. Right. But the way he reacted was like, he almost never hears that.
Wow.
Which I thought was awesome.
That's
was
awesome.
Like,
yeah.
So yeah, thankfully I trusted the process and I was like, eh, what the hell? Not getting any younger. He's not getting
any
younger.
Do you think the one tomorrow, you hopefully get higher?
Holy smokes. I think it could be higher. It could be just like maybe a 9.6. It could be. But we'll see. We'll see.
Mm.
But if that bad boy is higher and it's combined with Chris Claremont and the remark on top of it, we're looking
who
at...
Who knows?
We're looking at 2.
Oh, at least...
That'd be amazing.
Wow.
Wow. You're listening, Noah? Don't take anything less than that when I'm... Or actually, no, just bury them with me because that's... Just, yeah, put them in the incinerator.
Yeah.
It's coming with it's coming with me. I'm sorry. But yeah, so I got those comics graded. So I'm excited to finally dive in and get more graded
yeah.
at this point. So from now that we've touched on that, I just kind of want to dive into something very quick because we haven't talked about the comics too much, at least what's happening lately.
Yeah.
So the Marvel Universe is obviously thriving right now between Marvel Rivals and the shows and all that stuff and the movies. But of course, the comics are still going.
Yeah.
So in May, they're launching a new giant size title where, you know, in the back in the old days, giant size was like, this is where like Colossus and all of them made their debut, right?
Yeah.
As a team. And so they're rehashing that title, this banner title, and making these larger comics. So larger format. So double the size. So it's like instead of 22 pages, it's going to be 44 type of deal. And so they're going to revisit some classic moments in comic canon, but uncover new secrets. And, so they're also starting a new miniseries for both The Runaways and Jeff the Land Shark.
Oh.
So Jeff, as far as I understand, Jeff hasn't had his own solo comic book that's been printed.
Uh-huh.
It's only digital.
Yeah.
They are finally releasing a comic book that you can own and buy in the store because of his popularity
of
for Marvel Rivals. Yeah. And so the Runaways thing is very interesting because I believe my friend Elena Casagrande she's drawing it. And so the interesting about that is like, oh, why the Runaways? Like that used to be a show on Hulu that kind of didn't tank. It just wasn't as popular as it could have been. So I'm like, are they going to try and bring them back into the fold? I don't know. But it's starting in the comic books again. And then there's also going to be this bizarre rebirth of Gwen Stacy as Gwenpool. So remember, they're two different people usually.
Yeah.
It's Gwen Stacy and literally her name is Gwenpool with an E. But she's Gwenpool. And so now they're resurrecting Gwen Stacy, and she will be Gwenpool, but a more vicious, dangerous version that's like Deadpool and not as funny. So she's going to be like an assassin, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange. I'm not really, everybody's asking my opinion. I'm like, I don't really care for it, but I'll probably buy the first issue at least. There's also going to be the death of the Silver Surfer.
Jeez.
Aptly timed around the drop of the Fantastic Four movie. So yeah, you can imagine. And then last but not least, there's going to be Daredevil, A Cold Day in Hell, with an old man Murdoch at the helm. Whoa. So they've done old man Hawkeye, they've done old man Logan, and now they're doing old man Murdoch. And so he's an old man.
Interesting.
But as Daredevil. And so it's called A Cold Day in Hell. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, so all these comics, on top of the comics that are already going or ending, whatever, are coming out soon. But in true tradition, we have to discuss a couple of things in all their spoiler-filled glory. Woo! First starting with Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, and then, of course, the first two episodes of Daredevil.
Born Again!
You made me do it! Thank you, Adam Warlock. But very quickly, did you notice that I changed out giant poster?
I was like, that wasn't there.
Yeah, so you might be able to see it on video. It's right behind me, but I'll take a picture, post a picture. So I have resurrected this poster I received when the original first season of the Daredevil Netflix show came out.
Iconic.
And it's the iconic Matt Murdock with the bloody knuckles in his lawyer outfit. And it's like the movie poster size, so it's gigantic, and it is signed and personalized to me from showrunner Stephen DeKnight. So I was like, 'tis the season.
You can
Let's
see
go
it in
for
the,
it.
I think you can.
You can see a little bit of it. Yeah, you can see a little bit of it. But yeah, so I was like, let's pull it out. Why not? 'Tis the season. Damn. For sure. So I was like, let me put it back up.
Iconic.
For a little while, I'll enjoy Maddie for about a couple of months until the show's done and pull it back. Guardians is still up there. They're just behind him right now. so I had to pull that out. But yeah, so we're going to talk about these two shows now. And we'll give you a nice little alert when we hit the Daredevil portion. But yeah, for starting with Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, I forgot first and foremost that it was Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I thought it was just Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. No. I didn't realize, and I was like looking up on IMDb and such.
Where
and I was
is
like,
it?
I was like, oh, Your Friendly name is okay. But yeah, so season one is now streaming on Disney Plus. And so as is natural with what when we're covering the shows and movies now, the ratings are interesting. IMDb has it at a 7.4 out of 10.
Okay.
And it's number 76 on the popularity level out of 100. So it was like in the 50s, like last week, but now it's dropped for obvious reasons. The show's over, at least for the season. So
yeah.
I'm sure at its peak, it was like top 10. Has a 97% on Tomato Meter, which is
That's good.
Very impressive, actually. I did not expect that. But a 62% popcorn meter with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So the audience doesn't like it, but the...
It's because it wasn't Tom Holland, that's why.
Because it wasn't what? Tom Holland?
It wasn't Tom Holland, yeah.
Yeah, right? But that's interesting. I was like, that's something you don't see very often.
Yeah.
And so the show itself, obviously, introduced yet another interesting spin on the web slinger, and it didn't hesitate to bring in some familiar faces.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, across the board. So if you're only familiar with comics, if you're only familiar with the movies, if you're only familiar with the animated series, like there's at least one or two characters that you would be like, oh, I know that character. Or I caught that reference, very Steve Rogers-like. But did you have a favorite character or a remix of a character or cameo even?
I mean, our boy, Young Daredevil.
Young Daredevil.
I was like, ooh, and he was
and
voiced.
It's Charlie Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like, oh, my king.
No,
my
that was good. I mean, it was cool, like, seeing, like, all those heroes in there. You're like, oh, my gosh. Like, it's like, it's MCU, but it's obviously a different universe. But you're like, wow, they can just.
It's very interesting,
right?
They can
just use any of these characters. It's so cool.
Yeah, and they're not even limiting themselves to a comic book version anymore. They're doing MCU alternate universe style now. Because some of the references and all that that they make, you know, I made a note here that I'm jumping ahead of myself, but Harry creates at the end of the series this thing called the Worldwide Engineering Brigade, yeah. Right? Web, right? But for those of you who know and have been to Avengers Campus,
yeah,
this is the exact name that the MCU has created for, you know, Tony Stark has created this brigade.
Yeah.
And so it's like, wait, and now it's in the animated series, yeah. But it's not MCU, but it's not, it's like, oh, okay. And so they have this really interesting way of folding things in that are very familiar. And so, yeah, Daredevil's a big one. Big one.
I
but
think, yeah.
I was going to say that, you know, coming from my personal standpoint, we touched a little bit on this, you know, like in another episode, but I like that they're using characters that we're not too familiar with.
Yeah.
Or at least in the grand, like I'm saying, like public, in the public,
mm-hmm.
How many people would have known who Nico Minoru was? You know what I mean? Like nobody. She's from Runaways, speaking of.
Ah.
And so she's part of this whole Wiccan witch thing.
Got it.
And so there
was... Yeah, the last episode where they just like set everything up for season two, I was like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And so she's got a huge backstory. And so they touched... She was one of the, I would say, main characters in the Runaways TV show.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the actress's name, but she was great. Her portrayal was great. And so it was interesting to see like a high school version of her because in the comics, they're not the same age. Peter is well into his late 20s, early 30s.
Oh.
And she is definitely like in the 18-20 range, you know? And so to bring them back to bring them down to the same level of, oh, they're in high school together is kind of like, oh,
interesting.
That's interesting. And yeah. And of course the original plot being that it was supposed to be Jessica Jones because she did go to high school with Peter Parker.
That's hilarious.
It's so interesting. And I'm kind of sad that, yeah, we don't get to see that, but I'm sure that whatever they cook up for Nico, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, for cameos, I guess I'd probably be Daredevil. Yeah, I'm too easy.
Definitely Daredevil. I'm I was way just too like, easy. Of everything, I was just like,
yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Right. And even his story is very interesting, right? Because was it Finesse?
Finesse.
Yeah. So Jean, she's Finesse and she is an existing character, Taskmaster's daughter.
Crazy.
So yeah, it's very, very interesting stuff. I'm curious how far they're going to go with all these characters, though. You know what I mean? Like, usually these series are so linear that they're only, quote unquote, focusing on one character and their journey.
There's a lot of different stories.
But this one, there's like, there's so many stories. I know.
The twist of how he got his powers, how Peter got his powers. I was like, wait.
Yeah. It was like, an infinite loop.
So he's the
He's like, his own reason for getting his powers.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Because you're led to believe up to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one infinite loop because
it's an infinite loop, yeah.
They find out or Norman finds out he's Spider-Man.
Yep.
They take his blood.
Yep.
He injects that blood into a spider.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh no, what is that how like is that how Norman becomes the Green Goblin type thing?
Right.
That's where my mind was
going. That's what I thought. I was like, oh no, he's gonna take the serum.
And then like that last fight happened with Doctor Strange, and it's like, oh, it's it's like a weird loop because
when he went into the portal.
Yes, it goes back in time.
He was, the time configuration was officially like, it's skewed. He did not exist anywhere.
Yeah.
He was in neither timeline, technically.
So it's like this weird loop.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like what Tony Stark said in Endgame.
Endgame.
About the time and how, like, it folds onto itself, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that whole thing. So I was like, okay. I need to watch it again. I only watched it once.
Yeah.
So I need to watch it
again. I rewatched that ending a couple times.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on?
It's a very interesting concept. And I think that's probably why that things like that and the science element and the all that thought is probably why the you know, those people gave it a 97.
Yeah. Like Peter essentially gave himself his powers.
Right.
Which is great. I mean, I've never seen like a Spider-Man story like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like,
no.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very, very interesting that he was ultimately his own Yeah, he was the product of his own
actions. He's his own hero, I guess.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But yeah, so, you know, to touch a little bit on the multi-storylines that are happening. Yeah, there's Peter and Nico. Then there's Peter and Harry. Peter and Norman. Peter and May. Pearl and Lonnie. Lonnie and the 110th Street Gang. Lonnie and Peter. And then you have all these sub-characters,
Scorpion,
right?
Gang.
Scorpion, yeah. Dr. Carla Connors. Doc Ock. Thaddeus Ross. And then Daredevil, and then Finesse, Amadeus Cho, like all these characters, and they're all big characters in their own way. You know what I mean? They're not just like throwaways, which is so nuts to me. Because like we said in another episode, a lot, if not all of these Asian characters are in an active Avengers-like team, the Agents of Atlas. So it's interesting. I'm just like, where are y'all gonna do with this? And they're already working on season two. It's in production, and they're already planning. They're already developing season three.
Yeah.
So this is like, it's tremendous. I don't.
Where are they gonna go? You know.
It's so nutso. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll see, I guess, and see what happens. And then I wonder if he'll make a cameo in Spider-Verse at this rate.
I think the one thing that made me mad about part of the show, not mad and like it's bad, but mad I'm like, ugh,
what?
Like why? Huh. It was, you know, it was Lonnie like switching places with his little brother, in the gang, in the 110th gang, and I was like, I get what you're doing, but why?
And then of course, you know,
he becomes Tombstone. Like, as soon as one of the guys was like yeah, we should call you Tombstone, and I was like, damn it. Like, he's not coming back.
He's not coming back. He's not coming back. No. And then he started to drift further and further away from Pearl.
Yeah. From Pearl, from school, the football team.
And he was doing so well.
He was. That's why I was like, come on.
I know. It had to happen to somebody, right?
Yeah.
But then in my brain, that immediately leads me to think, like, wait, does that mean Harry's going to be fine? And Harry's going to be cool? And he's going to be like the man in the guy in the chair? Like, is Ned Leeds going to come in? Is Mary Jane going to happen?
Yeah, like is Harry, like,
everything's
going
to
be a turning point for Harry?
Exactly.
It's probably going to be.
If he even has
it. I have a prediction.
What is
it's probably going to be when Harry finds out like what his
dad's
dad
doing.
Was actually doing, like, to Spider-Man, like, and he's like,
So what did you think about,
or
like,
Norman dies,
which is very
and he's killed
as well.
By Spider-Man, and then all he sees is like, it's Spider-Man, like Pete, you killed my dad, and
it's like,
no,
the end of
Harry is not like that.
End of the first movie, it's basically the end
pretty
of the first
much,
movie,
yeah,
into the second, yeah, which is interesting because a lot of the series is, it features a lot of homages and Easter eggs that are adjacent to the films, and then they rotoscope as well. So they're literally tracing portions of live action and pulling them into the animated scope, which is really interesting. That's definitely a way of going about it. I had no predictions otherwise. I'm just kind of like, okay. And of course, executive producer and writer Jeff Tramiel revealed on my birthday, no less. Thanks so much, guys. It's so thoughtful of you. That a variation of Gwen Stacy, that is Spider-Gwen.
Oh, yeah.
Will be making her debut in season two. So I'm like, wait.
How is she getting into the fold?
And how is she getting into the fold? Because if they're already like, hey, she's going to be Spider-Gwen, I'm like, so it is. Is normal Gwen not happening? She's not happening. Like, so is she going to die? No. You can't bring Spider-Gwen in and then throw her off a bridge. Like, that doesn't work that way. So I'm like, ooh, is Mary Jane going to die? But it could go either way, right? Like,
Mary
we
Jane
don't know.
Even in that?
No, she's not. But that's the thing, right? It's like, now that there's one.
Give me Felicia.
I know, I'm waiting. But I'm like, ooh, maybe Pearl will be the new Gwen Stacy, and then Gwen will be the new MJ. I don't know. Anything.
They're really
possible.
Flipping like traditional.
That's what I'm saying.
Spider-Man like lore, but you know.
Yeah. So interesting stuff. Very, very, very curious. But yeah. So season two will premiere sometime in 2026, and then third season in development. So probably 2027.
Huh. I did like the the progression of Pete, obviously.
Mm.
When he almost died, like to the scorpion, I was like, oh my god, he's getting
tore up.
Oh my god, I had another thought. where I was like, no, I lost it. Keep talking.
It was definitely, as a whole, it was definitely a lot more brutal than I expected it to be. Yeah. Like, there's actual fighting. There's actual, like, risks, as you would say. And it's not at all what it originally kind of came across as.
Yeah.
Because I forgot what I was watching, but somebody mentioned, like, oh yeah, you know, like, maybe the audience score being so low is because people thought, yeah, they saw Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man,
and they thought it was gonna be like,
and they thought it was gonna be a,
like, the animated
watered yeah. down version of Peter Parker in high school, which can get really boring.
Yeah.
But thankfully it wasn't, and so I was like, oh, it actually turned me around for yeah. sure. I was just like, okay, I guess I'll watch it, sure, whatever. But I like it a lot, actually, and I thought it's great that it keeps it compelling, that it's so not traditional that it makes you keep guessing and keep watching.
I just remembered yeah. what I wanted to talk about.
Go for it.
Or bring up like the father figure type thing that Harry or Norman picks up to mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, but then when he said the great responsibility part,
I know.
I was like, and I was like, okay, so you're not going to be the one to tell him it. I was like, now I'm like, who's going to be the one that tells him the line?
Well, yeah, because, like, wait, didn't he say it at the end, or am I imagining that?
No, he just said it was with great power comes great respect.
Yeah.
And I was just like, ooh, oh, okay, thank God.
With Coleman,
I was like, thank God. I was like, it's not going to yeah. be you that says the line.
Yeah, Coleman Domingo.
And then I was like, okay. Like, oh, but then man. At the end, I'm like,
yeah.
Who Aunt May was visiting in prison.
Aunt May.
I was like, that's the part I rewind. Because yeah. I was like, huh?
Yeah, I was like, shut up.
I was like, his dad?
His dad.
And I was just like,
in Rikers, or the equivalent of Rikers.
I'm so confused right now, yeah. in a way of, like, I've never seen this before.
Yeah. So. No, for sure. It's kind of like they're taking a page out of not the show, but of the comic book What If. Like, this is straight up a What If scenario where they're just like, ha ha, plot twist, he's not dead. And also, ha, he's a bad guy. He's in jail for some reason.
And why is Aunt May visiting him still?
Like, covering, what is... right? She's, well, yeah, the minute, oh my goodness, the minute she was like, all right, kids, I gotta go run an errand. And Peter was like, oh, where are you going? She's like, oh, you know, I was like, ooh, you got lies. And then she shows up at the prison, and I was like, all this time? Because you're wondering, like, Aunt May's always on the go, right? She's always leaving. She's always got something to do. She's so busy. And then you're like, this entire time she's been visiting Richard Parker in prison.
What's his lore in the comics?
It was unknown for a very, very long time.
Okay.
Peter was very much, you know, this is like every other superhero, right? They have this mysterious origin story and they don't talk about the other stuff.
Yeah.
So he had always been from the get-go kind of like, oh, I'm an orphan, but my Aunt May and my Uncle Ben raised me. And that was it until the, I want to say, late 80s, mid 80s, 90s, where they did start to embellish and, like, kind of imagine what were Richard and Mary Parker like, right? And so yeah. there is a What If issue, for instance, where it was What If? And it was like, what if Peter Parker's parents were agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And so they were super spies, right? Or spies, or, you know, for the government, for instance. And so that's kind of something that they took on and adopted for Amazing Spider-Man. So it ended up that his dad was helping the government or whatever, and then they had to shut him down. And so it's like, okay, so there was a spin there. And then, of course, there's that classic comic arc that I refer to too often, Trouble, where it was like, he's actually May's son, but they covered it up because the sisters, like, you know, it was the 50s. They didn't want to
sure.
get pregnant before, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spicy. It was really spicy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so there's all these versions of it. So this is an interesting one because I don't think this has been touched upon. Maybe it's in a more modern comic, yeah, but like, I'm why pretty
is May,
sure not.
Like, why is May visiting?
Yeah.
Like Uncle Ben. Like, what's
if
Uncle Ben? Like,
they pull that it's May, that he's actually May's son, like May and Richard's son, I'm going to lose my mind. oh, wow. Yeah, because it's usually that
she's
Mary's son.
I don't think so, because
yeah.
the key word that he asked Aunt May, he's yeah. like, how's my son doing, right?
Yeah, he said my son.
He says, how's my son doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think if he said, "How's our son doing?"
Oh, that would have been insane.
Then people would have picked up on it. They've been like, would have been like, "Whoa, wait, hold on, hold on."
Unless the first line she gives him in season two is, "Richard, you mean our son?" Yeah, which could happen. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting, and it's gonna be like, okay, then where is Mary? Why is Mary not in the picture?
Where's Uncle Ben? Is there an Uncle Ben?
Where's Uncle Ben? Is Uncle Ben gonna come in and deliver the
line? Who gives him the line? Who gives him the responsibility line?
It's gonna be Gwen.
It doesn't hit the same.
How dare you? But yeah, it's gonna be very interesting because yeah, these are huge people, you know, characters in Peter's life.
Yeah.
Huge, huge, huge monumental people. So to see where all these figures land once all the, you know, when once it all the smoke clears is gonna be,
yeah, like I felt like I was like part of the, so I felt intense. Like I was part like I felt like the Insomniac game, Spider-Man 2,
yeah,
or
no,
whatever,
for real.
I was like, Tombstone's here, oh that's a side quest. Oh, Scorpion, oh that's the mission.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was just like, oh my god,
yeah, right. But see, that's exactly right. Like, it's not, they're breaking the usual wheel of like, you get this suite of characters,
yes,
and they're gonna be exactly as you know them, like Rhino and all that stuff. No, they're changing it up.
Yeah,
they're like, no, actually Lonnie's gonna be in high school with Peter.
Yeah,
and then he's gonna get gassed by Oscorp, and then he's gonna turn into Tombstone slowly but surely.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay.
And then obviously Dr. Connors is there too. We didn't even get, yeah, much on her.
Yeah,
she just had one
and
arm,
she
and that's
just
it
has one arm, and I was like, Dr. Connors. Yeah, and so they're introducing all these characters that are very like similar but not quite, and so yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they do with it in the next couple of years. But man, yeah, definitely came through in,
yeah,
a way,
yeah,
that
I, no,
did not,
I enjoyed
expect
it a lot. And then obviously the Watcher at the end.
Yeah, like what is happening?
People are just,
guys,
theorizing that it's just like, oh, okay, I think it was the Watcher just being like, oh, okay, yeah, like this is fine. Like, he would have been like, oh no, this is so wrong, but then,
yeah, no,
he realized,
he's
like,
just watching,
and then he was just like, oh, just no, watching. he deserves to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, very, very interesting. So yeah, check it out, full season on Disney Plus right now.
Yeah, I feel like it just kind of came and went in terms of like, oh, it's out already, and
yeah,
I was like, oh shoot, I gotta catch up,
right? Yeah. Well, it's because their release schedule was very interesting too, right? They like came out the gate with like three episodes, and then there was like two,
yes,
and then another three, and then two,
yeah,
which is kind of funny. It's like a
thwip.
Yeah. And so they dropped interesting like chunks of the show at,
yeah,
a time. So yeah, I kind of like that, especially,
yeah,
when,
yeah,
it comes to a cartoon, because like if, with something,
and it's 30 minutes, like
it's 30 minutes,
so,
yeah,
super easily digestible,
right? Because like something with like X-Men 97,
yeah,
it was kind of like, oh, it's done.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta wait another week, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that like it is really a marketing thing. They're trying,
yeah, yeah,
to get,
yeah, yeah,
stuff out, obviously for Daredevil, but I think for the cartoon, for an animated series, I think that multi episode is kind of the way to go.
It's nice, yeah, especially,
yeah,
if it's
like
30
it
minutes.
Yeah, I like
30
it a
minute
lot
episodes.
Yeah. So yeah, check it out. Tell us what you think. Oh. And very quickly, so yeah, I lost my train of thought, but how did you like the homages? Like every episode, the title card ended on a homage cover.
Oh yeah,
of the comics, and then also the many, many suits of Peter Parker.
Oh,
did you have a, I like classic. I'm good with classic, but it was,
I'm
interesting.
A classic guy,
yeah,
yeah,
it was interesting to see the white and black, and then the kind of like
the theme song's catchy.
Yeah, it's very cool, and it's interesting because it is like a mix of, it starts out like the original 60s animated or 70s animated one,
yeah,
and then leads into the more modern, and then a very, very new take on
yeah,
the song. So yeah, it's all good stuff. It's definitely great for any existing Spider-Man fan, and then even if you're a casual one, it's a fun little animated series.
Go watch it if you haven't.
Yes. So you ready for part two?
Part two.
So spoiler alert.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, spoiler filled. First two episodes of Daredevil.
Born again. I cannot,
that's
do it.
Funny. I know, you can't hear it, right? You can't hear normal words the same after you've played Rivals for a certain amount of time. Like someone says disappear, you're like, disappear!
Disappear!
Yeah, exactly. It's my time to shine.
The moon!
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah, every time we say Daredevil, it's going to be like,
born again!
And you just add a Morlock.
I'm but ready to put on a show.
Watch me soar. Just wait till the X-Men come in. Like, you know Scott is going to be like, Jean. Scott. Because, like, the Fantastic Four already do it, right? Oh, no, they got Ben. And he's like, Susan!
Is it clobbering time again, Ben?
Exactly, yeah. So cute. And so anyway, so Daredevil.
Born again!
Debuted March 4th with two episodes right out the gate. Oh me, oh my. Okay, wait, hold that thought. I was going to jump into it too. Let me go very quickly through this. So IMDb, 9.1 out of 10. Woo! And number 33 on popularity level. Probably rising as the days go by because it dropped on a Tuesday. That's challenging.
Still anticipated.
Yeah. And so by the weekend, hopefully it's hovering in a really great spot. 82% on tomato meter from the critics and 90% popcorn meter with the audience. So
hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, right out the gate. They did not spare a minute.
It was so funny. I texted you immediately and I was like, die. Because I just watched the first episode, and then I was just like, oh my god, he's so back. And you were like, I'm stuck at work. I won't get one. I haven't seen it yet.
I couldn't watch it. I was like, no, don't talk to me. I had to like shut out the world. I was like driving, and I'm like, I need to get home. I need to watch Daredevil now.
And so I started it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh. I was like, there's no way. There's a point where I was like, oh my god, I paused it. I just paused it and I was like, we are 18 minutes in this episode. And I was
exactly. And someone else said it was even before the opening credits. And I was like, was it? And I think it was.
It was. Because the credits started
after he threw
Bullseye out.
Yes, exactly. So I was like, holy that's crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely like I knew bonkers. What was happening.
Yeah.
As soon as Matt, he went to the apartment, he was hearing the phone call.
Yeah.
And he heard Foggy was outside. He's like, I'm sorry, Foggy. I told them where you were. And I was like, oh no. And then I was like, oh my god, he's still outside.
Yeah,
I was like, oh no. And I was like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Karen Page is acting, trying to keep him alive.
Yeah, she's
was
great.
Was insane. Deborah Ann Woll, sorry.
One of her fortes is panic. She is so good
at
panic.
And then Charlie on the top being like, why? Like, and I was just like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, and then I went to Twitter, as one does.
Yes, of course.
And obviously, I get people comparing to the Netflix because the Netflix was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good, and it's one of its own.
Yeah.
But I think that's why it was so like good. It was like, it probably didn't have a big budget, so they had to keep everything pretty in camera. So now they have like a Disney budget, so it's like they're like, if we have an option to use CGI, let's use CGI.
Sure.
But I don't think anything is going to capture like the rawness of
the
Netflix version. I still think it's pretty violent, the MCU version.
Yeah.
And it has it, but it's like,
it's a certain different polish, right? It's a different way.
But also it's like these characters are different, and like if you think about it, this is coming from like a storyteller standpoint. Like, you already had, like, what, 4 seasons of this, right?
Yeah, this is the fourth season.
This is the fourth season?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the fourth season. Like, you need something to, like, stir these characters.
Yeah.
And, yeah, does it suck that Foggy's the one that has to go?
Yeah.
I think so. It sucks, but it's like, how else were you going to, get through?
Again, risks. What are the risks? What has happened? What has transpired? Because you have to think. There are 3 seasons before this current one, technically.
Yeah.
He's also appeared in She-Hulk. He's also been in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah.
At this point, what is Matt Murdock / Daredevil being served that keeps him relevant in that universe? Well, not only did they bring back Bullseye, which I was dying for because he is so fantastic.
That guy's a maniac.
He's incredible as Bullseye. And I remember that when they first casted, when they first did the casting for the MCU's Bullseye, I was like, okay, I know nothing of Wilson Bethel's cinematography. Yeah. I don't know anything about it. But I have a friend who watches, like, I don't know, some Southern romantic show. And she's like, oh, he's so good on that show. And I was like, oh.
Where's Foggy on here?
Foggy, show we're me. Looking at IMDb.
I know.
He is.
Show me.
Not on this immediate list.
He should be.
He should be. Well, I see what they're doing here, but.
What's his name?
Eldon.
Oh, it really only does say one episode. Damn.
Yeah. But. There is this way that they're trying to keep it under wraps so they don't add any of the information.
Someone just said that they're both like signed on for season two.
They are. But the initial thought is, oh, maybe flashbacks. But no, because thankfully, although I am a huge Daredevil fan, I have two friends that are incredibly in-depth Daredevil fans. And so I found that this incredible Easter egg on social media that if you look closely at the opening shot of them leaving their law firm.
Yes.
The address is 468.
Uh-huh.
And so the events, the sleuths that are Daredevil fans realized, oh, this is an Easter egg to Daredevil number 468. That is called the secret lives or life of Foggy Nelson.
Uh-huh.
Where the storyline is, Foggy fakes his own death.
Interesting.
So,
in order to
sort of grant Matt the salvation of, like, the burden is lifted from him. He doesn't have to be.
Oh.
I don't know that that's the storyline.
Yeah.
But it's the like angle a, is from yes. the show perspective, maybe this is him being like, I understand that he doesn't necessarily want to do this anymore. If this has to be done. I love my best friend. And maybe he does that. You know, that's a standing theory. But it is interesting that if you look at it from a sheerly I'm watching the show perspective, the big one is they never showed him die. They just say he died. And then I was like, well, but then it's a year later.
They showed him breathing.
They showed him not breathing. His heart stopped. Technically his heart stopped, right?
But we know how that goes. Nick Fury did
it. They didn't show him die. Well, I guess they did show him die on camera, but there was no funeral, right? They don't show a funeral
scene.
It
was just a year later.
It was just a year later. So it's kind of like, okay. So there are all these questions that do need to be answered if that is the case. If he is not dead.
I guess we'll see.
But we'll see because, again, we're only two episodes in. So the first episode was Heaven's Half Hour, directed by Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson. And then episode two, Optics, directed by Michael Cuesta. And then, of course, you know, I had to mention that Born Again itself is a nod to the 1986 Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli arc. However, otherwise not related. So it's kind of like a Civil War scenario.
Uh-huh.
Similar, but not necessarily the same storyline at all. It's just an homage. At least we think.
Yeah.
Because we don't know yet. But yeah, so... So Wilson Bethel comes back as Bullseye, and of course Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, and they brought back the wonderful actress that played Vanessa. Yeah, because originally she was not supposed to come back. That's Ayet Zur. And so they've also brought, of course, Deborah Ann Woll, who we only see in the first episode, along with Eldon. But then they introduced Jenya Walton as B.B. Ulrich. Very interesting, because if you remember, Ben Ulrich is the reporter that Kingpin strangled to death in season two or something. I don't even know which season. Yeah.
I had to re-look that up. I was like, okay.
And it's crazy because, you know, I said this to Andrew as well. I was like, when Fisk was like, your uncle was a great man. I was like, you killed him! Because he was wonderful. But yeah, he says it to her face, just like, he was a great man. And it's like, oh, does she know? Is she aware that maybe?
I mean,
right? Like, who knows at this point? And then they also introduced Margarita LaViva as Heather Glenn, a therapist.
Yes.
That's friends with Kirsten McDuffie.
Yes.
Portrayed by Nikki M. James. And so, do you remember anything I've said about Kirsten McDuffie?
The name rings a bell, but...
Yeah, it's been a long time since we talked about Daredevil himself. And so, the character. And so, like, Kirsten McDuffie is one of Matt Murdock's more modern age love interests.
Got it.
She's also a paralegal. Okay. Yeah, and super smart, super witty. So, to see her come in, because there was speculation. I remember when they were still filming, there was speculation like, oh, is there going to be a Kirsten McDuffie? Because she hadn't been named yet.
Yeah.
And so, when they're talking about her in the bar, they're like, McDuffie? I was like... Kirsten, oh my god.
She's Foggy was amazing. Trying to like talk her up,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Foggy was talking her up. And so yeah, in the comic she's very witty, she keeps Matt on his toes like she does in the show. She does the same thing. And so it is interesting that she then introduces him to Heather Glenn,
yeah,
who is now Wilson and Vanessa's therapist, and also meeting with this mysterious character that is probably Muse, which is the bigger baddie in the show. The one we've seen in the commercials. It's the kid that comes up to her and is like, can you sign my book?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be very, 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 very interesting how this all pans out.
Tiger also at the beginning.
Oh, and Tiger, yes, White Tiger. Yeah, very, very... And also, like, you know, rest in peace to his wonderful actor that passed away in December. It's so crazy that they
already set up a lot of stuff.
They set up so much stuff in two episodes.
Fisk is mayor.
And that's probably the biggest one, right?
And I was like, oh, this is very...
Like,
this is very, like, running parallel with what's going on in the world.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I kind of started to think about myself, was that, is it going to affect, for the people that don't know, right, that don't know that this is actually, these are events that do happen
actual
in the comic.
Comics, yeah.
That happened 10
decades
years
ago.
Yeah, 10, 20 years ago. They're going to think, oh, this is woke. It's so on point. It's like, well, that's convenient,
actually.
I mean,
yeah, Whisk being New York's mayor was an actual comic line.
Exactly. It's just a wonderful coincidence, depending on who you ask. But
So I think it was like, the first couple, like half of like episode two. I was like, I think Fisk is really trying to like, be a good mayor.
That's
like
what a lot of people are saying.
Like, I was like, he's actually really trying and not reverting back to like anything his like crazy
old ways, right?
You know. And then he met with the police chief,
yeah,
and like the police chief immediately was like no. I don't want to do anything. He came in and handed his resignation.
Oh my god.
And then he's like, oh yeah, like you're a Philly guy, duh.
Yeah.
He's like, this is my favorite. Boom. And it's basically like
the
him
picture
and
his illegitimate
secret
son.
Child.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
there he is.
I was like, he won't kill you, but he will blackmail the hell out of you. And I was like, here we go.
He's there.
New York is back, baby.
He's definitely still there. Because, I started to wonder too, right? Because, like, all the foreshadowing is there. There's this crazy painting of two people on his wall. You know, one is clearly dying in the other one's arms. I was like, okay, well, there's Matt and Foggy, I guess. But then there's also the circumstance of, not only is that there that contrast of like, oh, Matt Murdock has clearly come up in the world. He no longer just holds his suit in a chest in his closet and has two suits and that's all he's got. Now he's got this array of different shades of gray. He has a shoe closet. He's,
you know what I just realized right now?
What?
Both of them, both Matt, Daredevil and Kingpin, they both went on a parallel journey in that episode.
Yeah.
Like, one was done with his old ways, trying to be a new person, and then reversed back to his old ways at the
end. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, exactly. And they've also swapped places, right? Like, if you think back to the old ones, how Kingpin would open this gigantic closet, and he had all these suits, but he only picked the specific one. He'd pick the white one, of course. And now, Wilson has like four suits he's looking at, and he picks this, you know, it's also an interesting thing of the way they do it, right? Matt very delicately pulls the coat off. Then you look at Wilson, he grabs the hanger,
yeah,
pulls it out, and he hesitates. He looks at the white one and he's like, no. And he goes with the simple one. And so it's like, okay, they've switched places in this weird way. And then, yeah, to your point, that one is trying to leave his past behind. The other one is trying to start something new, right? And so it's very interesting in a way that once Wilson goes to therapy with Vanessa, I was like, okay, this is really interesting. Because the more we see of Vanessa, the more she's like, not like I'm the kingpin, but she's like, she's reminding him, like, I made this business successful.
Yeah.
I did this without
when
you.
When you abandoned me.
When
yeah.
you when you weren't here. And of course, that all calls back to the Echo, you know, the series. And so, and what Wilson was doing, and he was following Maya all over the place.
Oh,
got
like
shot
that.
In
I
the
like
face.
That little callback too when they,
yeah, do you have children?
He's like, no, yeah. But I tried mentoring someone.
Yes, exactly.
And then Charlie was like, Didn't she shoot you in the face?
Yeah. his chuckles and the way he just kind of like,
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, you're so good. But yeah, these subtle reminders that Vanessa has like overpowered him in some way is like, oh, he's really actually kind of going belly up for a bit. He's like, oh yeah, I am trying to change myself. But then to your point, then you're reminded like, oh no, he's not gone. he's not. Just trying different tactics now,
yeah,
that aren't so physical. He's like, oh no, I'm going to expose you instead. And so it could be that he might expose Matt at this rate. Like, can he? But then,
I mean, it's like it's like Joker and Batman,
yes,
thing. It's like,
it's very much like that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think Fist still wants to be in good graces with his wife.
Yeah,
like, that is the one thing he cannot lose.
That was his. She was his priority for so long.
Yeah,
that it's kind of like, and you can still see it, but it's almost like an acceptance, right? Because he even says in the episode, he's like, "I know about Adam," so she's having an affair with
Warlock.
Somebody. I know, right? That's what I'm
born again.
They took it too far. That's where my mind went too. I was like, Warlock.
Who's Adam?
But yeah, but they've not introduced this character yet. He's not anywhere. They're just talking about him. So,
and their therapist is the therapist that Matt's dating.
That Matt's dating and is obviously going to get even more serious with, because we've seen it in the,
because then now
the
he's going to be like,
yeah,
what is he saying? And then she's,
yeah,
like, I can't, attorney client. And it's like,
well,
ah.
If she's even going to tell him. If she even tells him. He doesn't know that that's her new client.
Yeah,
patient, right? When I have an idea that when he goes, oh, how was your meeting with your new patient? She's gonna talk about the other guy. When the young kid, if she makes room to take the young kid in,
the
book signing guy, she's gonna talk about him. She's not gonna say anything about Fisk. And then it's like, can we trust her? And then, of course, yes, to your point earlier, the fact that they've brought in, like, you know, they're talking more openly about the world of vigilantes, and that there are more than just Daredevil.
Yeah,
there's also
we
White
got guys
Tiger.
In spider suits.
Yes, spider suits is like, oh gosh. And then they talked about the Punisher very vaguely as well. But yes, Hector Ayala, who is known as the White Tiger in the comics, portrayed by Kamar de los Reyes, rest in peace. Another existing character in the comics.
Well, such a messed up first scene situation.
Oh,
I was like,
oh, I know.
Ugh.
When that cop hit the train,
I was like, whoa.
I think I actually like physically was like, oh.
Yeah, and then,
oh,
the cop was like, NYP, and I was like, bro, what the, what are you?
Yeah, exactly, and it's like, what are you doing? And then you realize, oh, they're crooked.
And I was like, are there no cameras on the subway? What are we doing, guys?
Somebody, the CCTV had to have gotten that witness running away, right? So, yeah, they've introduced the subplot of White Tiger, but you can kind of tell they're not going to go too deep into the weeds with it, right? Because it's like mystical amulet situation and all that stuff. They're like,
he didn't have his mystical amulet.
I love how Charlie Cox debates, because he makes anything sound like hardcore.
I like how
legit.
That's just like
everything's legit. When
I like
it comes
how that's just like normal, like in this world.
Yes,
it's like,
exactly.
It's like there's no way he's violent. He didn't have his amulet on.
Right, exactly. And when that's kind of like the humanizing that the MCU needs, right?
Yeah,
like it's great that they've taken on this sort of persona, if you will, that it's realistic, but also they're taking it down even further to our level that a lawyer is saying, like, you know,
like, look, he didn't have his mystical amulet on. There's no way he could
rationalizing for a superpowered vigilante that dresses as a white tiger. So it's going to be interesting to see where that storyline goes. And of course, you know, the cop situation is obviously going to bleed into the Punisher one, because...
Where you at, John Bernthal? When are you
Johnny
make-
B! Ooh. Oh, so good. But yeah, as you could see, like, one of the cops had the tattoo of the Punisher symbol with the blue line through it. And I was like, oh, they're doing it. They're doing it.
I've read something on Twitter.
Line.
Yeah, like, that storyline is that they believe in the Punisher's...
Yes.
Like, ways.
Yes.
But that's crossing a line, right? Because you're a cop.
Right. Like,
because the Punisher does what a police officer can't do.
Yeah.
Like, he crosses that line.
He crosses the line that
a police officer cannot do.
Should not.
But
yeah,
these police officers
believe that they're above the law in a weird way.
Yeah.
Right? It's a vigilante situation again.
Okay.
And so in real life, there are people who use him, Punisher, and the Punisher skull as like a symbol of to almost validate their feelings of situations and what respect and authority means. So to see the show
take that
head on, like, you know what? We're going to take that real life situation and pull it into this world.
Yeah.
That Frank is hyper aware, or is going to be hyper aware, that is a thing, a concept.
Yeah.
That's a huge move. Like,
it's going to be crazy.
It's going to get crazy. So... That's my take on how he's going to enter the situation.
For sure. Because
he's probably on some other thing where he's either against, he's highly against it and highly aware of it, or he doesn't know yet and he's going to find out.
He's like, yeah, why are these cops killing the
Yeah, and taking it out on innocent people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then Matt just going ballistic at the end. He was like, no, please, I don't want it.
I know. When he starts yelling, he's like one of the few actors that I'm just like, I'm actually kind of scared of him, because he's losing it.
Daredevil
usually
so is back, baby.
Yeah, because he's usually so chill. But yeah, the fact that he lost it in the first 20 minutes of the film of the show, and that he threw Dex off the roof.
So funny.
Is huge, right?
Yeah.
It's huge. Because
he doesn't kill.
At least not intentionally.
I think that was his thing too. He was just like, he fell off.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
And then Cherry knows who he is too.
Cherry knows who he is as well.
Detective Cherry knows. So there's only like 3-4 people that knows
who he is.
It's who is it? Karen, John, or does Punisher know who he is?
I believe so. Right? No. Maybe not.
I forget.
I can't remember. I think so. I can't remember.
If it is, and it's like three, it's
people
like 3 or 4.
People are yelling at us right now.
It's like, been a while, okay? I don't have time to binge the first 3 seasons.
I wanted to do it too, and I didn't do it.
Well, obviously, because Kingpin and Cherry and Karen know. So that's for sure 3.
Yeah, and Foggy.
Foggy, well, you know, he's dead.
Oh, right. Oh, my bad. And then Jessica and Luke and
people that we've seen in this show right now.
Defenders and this one, that's of this particular cast, only a small handful.
That was crazy.
It's gonna be so crazy.
Insane start to a season, I'll say.
But what's funny is that, and it's not even funny per se, but when when they showed the wide angle, and I was like, oh, he's just going to keep him up there. And then Bullseye hit the street. I was like, oh my God.
And people are saying that like Karen didn't even look back, because they're like,
no,
I don't know if that's mad or something.
Well, yeah, she's terrified, right? Because she just, she was already having a panic attack.
Yeah.
Her friend is literally dying in front of her. And then to hear a body fall behind her, she's just like, oh my God, I can't take this, right? She's freaking out. So
crazy.
It's, and I can imagine people are like, how did he survive? Well, it's like, you have to remember at the end of season 3 of Daredevil, like, homeboy got like a metal spine put in, you know, like he's kind of like, he's okay, but he's already unwell.
Yeah.
It's not going to do much to him, but yeah, the whole skull fracture thing, he's probably just going to get more crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see where this goes. And now everyone's like, ooh, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just going to get crazier and crazier and crazier. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But there are only 10 episodes in the season. And they're already filming season 2.
Yeah.
So that should probably come out pretty quick. It'll probably be the same time next year. So it won't be too long. They clearly have enough to pad the time.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at any maps lately or any you know timelines. So
yeah.
We'll have so much because it's
we're again, in for a treat for the rest of the year for sure.
Because I anticipated that they wouldn't even start Thunderbolts promo until after the season. But they've started already. It's already happening.
Oh, yeah. They did an Empire thing already.
They did the Empire thing today. And so we're 2 days into Daredevil, and they're already marketing the movie that comes out in 2 months. So it's like, okay, then it's going to be Fantastic Four time. And then it's going to be, what else is after that?
I forget.
There's Ironheart still, and then they're filming Doomsday. Doomsday is next year. Russo Brothers coming back. And then Spider-Man.
I think they're shooting in London.
Spider-Man 4 is coming out.
They're shooting that in London. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so they're probably at Pinewood.
How is he going to? Because Tom Holland's also filming The Odyssey.
The Odyssey with Zendaya.
So, yeah. So, I mean, if it's all taking place in London... Then boom, right there, Odyssey, and then...
Well, that's what wigs and CGI are for, right? But yeah, it's going to be one thing after another. Like, sure enough, they're going to just release.
Yeah.
But far more smoother than the beginning of Phase 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see, yeah.
Woo!
Woo, it's going to be crazy time. So be sure to stream Daredevil on Disney Plus as well. 2 episodes as of this episode of our podcast dropping. There are 2 episodes in the can. So with single episodes the rest of the run.
Yes.
I assume,
next like 8 weeks.
Yeah, I assume they might finish with 2, depending on things, but
possibly,
yeah. So that's gonna be a treat. So go out, support. Love the show, love my Daredevil, love my Matty Murdock. Yeah. Oh my God.
Born again!
That's so funny. And so, yeah. Anything else you want to chat about before we close out?
No, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Get that Daredevil love in. It's so good. And so next up, before we get lost in the Daredevil characters, because we're obviously going to go there. We're going to go. We haven't done Kingpin yet. We haven't done Bullseye. We haven't done any of these characters.
Trust me.
Yeah, we're going to go deep into the Daredevil like lore and go down there that way after the season ends.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's so much room to talk about.
Yeah.
Especially 10 hours of content, basically.
Pretty much.
Right? Which, again, Charlie Cox probably has the most on-screen time now of any MCU character.
Oh,
He has to. There's no way he does, right?
Yeah.
4 seasons of Daredevil, Defenders, and She-Hulk.
There were a lot of episodes. It was like 18 episodes.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's probably got number one top spot. So God knows how much time we'll have to actually...
We need to Google that.
Yeah, I know. Because
people would be like,
it.
What do you mean? Iron Man? I'm like, yeah, but they were movies.
Movies.
And he didn't spend like... like if it was a 90-minute movie, he wasn't in all 90 minutes.
No, he's like probably in it for 23. Yeah. 35. So, yeah, exactly. So,
but with Daredevil, he's in
almost every scene.
At least 40 minutes.
Exactly.
Every episode 40.
Exactly. And so you times that.
Yeah.
Like already, that's 2 films for Iron Man.
Him and Vincent D'Onofrio are going crazy.
Yeah, I love it. So good. So we're going to talk about all these characters and we're going to have so much to talk about. So we're going to wait until the end of the season before we go there. But join us in a couple weeks as we finally discuss old Thunderbolt Ross, thanks to Captain America, Brave New World. Woo. And that's making its exit out of the theater. So be sure to watch the film while you can. It's going to be a couple months before it goes digital and home release. So yeah, give a little more love to Cap before he exits the big screen. But with all that said, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, and a special thank you to all of our Patreon supporters, and a We Are Groot salute to Jenny, Ariel, Andrew, Ashley, Ed, Cherry, Edgar, Katie, Tyler, Andrea, Robin, Melanie, Nats, Chris, Joliz, and Laura.
Woo!
Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST, and if you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening and watching.
And watching.
We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
You're keeping tabs on me.
No, I'm not. I'm just, call it professional curiosity.
What profession would that be?
I'm a lawyer.